Today in the What Now series, sort of a twofold label. It's like we must learn to stand out. We must be called, and we have been called, to live wide awake. We need to be wide awake. Is anybody asleep in here today? Wake them up. What we really need, and I believe I've been called to this, is we need a holy rebellion. Where we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of the status quo and of what everybody else says we have to do. The only thing we have to do, Linda, is we have to listen to the voice of God. James, we have to listen to the voice of God. Michelle, we have to listen to the voice of God. Are y'all following me? The only thing that I have a command to do is to love my neighbor and follow God. So I need a holy rebellion. What do you mean by that? We were not called to just blend in. Well, let's just blend in. Nobody else. No, we weren't called to blend in. We were called to stand out, not just to stand in. Called to stand out. Now let me make it personal. You were born to stand out. Say it with me. I was born to stand out. Say it again. Man, I'm getting excited in here today. Something in my spirit is getting excited. I can't explain it, but there's something in me that has a celebration going on in my heart. Because I believe God is about to do something we never saw, we never thought about before. We could not work it out in paper. Pat, if we sat and tried to figure it out, we'd never figure it out. We don't know the ways of God, but He does. Say, He does. Boy, I'm excited. See, we live in a culture and a society where blending in, when I want to blend in, it seems easier. It seems safer and maybe more rewarding. But that's not what we were called to do. Listen, God has never called His people. This is a key. God has never called His people to comfort. It's not in the Word. He never called His people to comfort. He called us to courage. That's what He's called you to. You have to be courageous to do the things that we're going to do in the next few weeks and months and years. I'm not tired. I'm not weary. I've got a large job to do. But today, I'm inviting, and I believe God is inviting everyone in this room. For those that could not be here, I'm sad for them. But I know God is inviting you to wake up, rise up, and stand out. Wake up, rise up, and stand out. How many people are ready to do that? We know the scriptures very well in Romans 12:2. This is a call. It's a wake-up call. Be not conformed to this world or the pattern of this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We know that. What does he mean? We cannot be conformed to the world's pattern. What is that? Comfort over conviction. Everybody say that. And then there's noise over depth. We want the sound. We want the tingling cymbals and all the things that go on. But it's not the noise we need. It's the depth we need. There's a lot of places today has a lot of noise, and people gather, Pat, to the noise. But it's not the noise I need. Noise cannot save me. Noise cannot deliver me. Noise cannot heal me. The only thing that can touch my life and change me is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings. That's what we need. We don't need another song and dance or another cute sermon. We need the Word of the living God. Turn to somebody and say, we need the Word. So we cannot choose comfort over conviction. We can't choose noise over depth. And we can't choose popularity over purpose. I want to be popular. Listen, if I want to be popular, I preach messages. It would be Pat about bless me, God's going to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. He's going to heal you, heal, heal you. And, but there comes a time we've got to hear sound doctrine. So I've never been popular. In the next few weeks, I probably won't be really popular. And some of you may leave today and I may not be popular. But one thing you have to know, that Jesus is at the helm of this ship. God says, not Alan, God says, don't copy the culture, challenge it. Don't copy the culture, challenge it. He said, you know, Bishop, I just don't know. I'm afraid if I challenge it, somebody will run over me. Well, maybe you need to be run over. Maybe it'll wake you up. I'm not going to copy the culture. I'm going to challenge it. Everywhere I go, everything that I do, everything that I say. And there again, let me say this. No one in this room is perfect, even to the man that stands at this pulpit, but we have a perfect Christ that's desperately trying to work in our lives. So I say, don't fall asleep at the wheel of your spiritual life. And that's what many people have done. We've fallen asleep. Have you ever fallen asleep while you're driving? That's a scary thing. I've done it. Not recently, but back when I was younger, because I tried to stay out late at night, and you know how it was when you're young. And I woke up one time with my head this close to the median, going down about 70 miles an hour. I'm thinking, oh my God, it woke me up real quick. But we go to sleep at the wheel, the spiritual wheel. What happens when you do that? You're going to have a wreck. We need to be transformed. You got to think about the little caterpillar. Have you ever noticed a caterpillar? Hard to say it. Stupid little bug. It conforms. It conforms to the dirt. It lives in the dirt until it's transformed. Transformed into the cocoon. It never, then, after that, it never blends back into the ground. It takes wings and flies. We are just like that caterpillar. We may have been in the dirt, but we're coming out of the cocoon and we're going to fly. We got to stand out. We got to stand up. We got to rise up. We have to awaken our, be awakened to righteousness and sin not, which means we're not going to be disobedient to God. Amen? So I ask this question today. You've had a lot to absorb. What mindset or habit, does anybody have a habit in here? Maybe it's good or bad. What mindset or habit have I allowed, ask yourself this question, have I allowed to mold me more than the Word of God? Because we all have. What have we allowed to mold us? Is it the Word or a Word? There's a difference. The Word is what comes from God. A Word is what man says. I don't want to hear any word that's not under the anointing. To me, that's just chatter. But when God starts to work in us, when God starts to speak, I come alive inside. Man, I can watch a video, which I don't do very often because I don't trust many speakers. But when I listen to someone and the anointing is upon them, it doesn't matter if they're dead and gone, I feel it. I sense it. I know that it's real. See, God is not limited by time nor space, and He's not limited by death. Are y'all with that? I don't have time to talk about that. But death is nothing but a vehicle. That's all it is. So we need to declare this today. Say this with me. I'm done living numb. God, wake me up. You can't fall into the stupor of Satan. You can't allow him to dull your thinking. You can't allow him to take away or strip your faith. By faith, we built, well, I'm not going to get into that right now. But by faith, this place is here today because of faith. All by faith. God had a plan. And I want to appreciate the bishop that's actually going to be moving into this facility. I called him on the phone, talked to him, and he just gotten back from Africa. And you know they're killing people over in Nigeria right now. They're shooting down people, and the headline said they've killed a lot of Christians. But I appreciate him so much. I said, Bishop, I know things are transpiring, but I really need some time because nobody let me know what's going on, so I'm going to need this time till at least June the 22nd. If not, we'd be out of here. And I want to thank him for that because God even worked in that. And I appreciate it so much. But we need to stand up with a holy courage. I'm going to have a holy courage. A courage that comes from the power and the strength of God. Let me tell you somebody that was like that. You'll find this in Daniel 3. You're going to find out that there was a man named Nebuchadnezzar that built a golden statue. And he said, when the ringing of the bell or the sound of the trumpet sounds, everybody will bow to this statue or you will be thrown in a fiery furnace. Now listen to this. In Daniel 3, 16 through 18 in the New International Version, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king after he made that statement, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But hear us, king. Even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We don't need to defend ourselves. God will defend us. And I'm going to say that for you today and for us, for all of us collectively. We don't need to defend ourselves. God will be our defender. God will be our source. I love it when they said, even if he does not rescue us, we will not serve your gods. They took a stand. Holy rebellion. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were called the three Hebrew boys. They defiled that. They just didn't just disagree with the culture. They didn't just disagree with it. They defied it with reverent boldness. They defied it. So what is the truth? You see, they stood when everybody else bowed. Sometimes you got to make a stand. Like what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks. Either you take a stand or you don't. Either you want to see what God has or you don't care. The reason we're where we are today is because people stop caring. Do I get an amen out of that? Because if they really cared, it wouldn't be this way. But now God sees that and says, I'm going to take it to another level, another dimension. And it's going to be about the Word. Just mark that down. It's going to be about the Word. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise. Come on. We need to praise God in this hour. So what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What's the deal here? What's a truth that I can find in all this? Your faith is not proven by what you say. Let me say it again. Your faith is not proven by what you say in comfort or in peace, but by how you stand in the pressure. When the pressure comes, how do you stand? You know, I've had people before talk to me and say, you know, Bishop, God's let me down. How did he let you down? Well, you know, I've done everything I know to do, and I've done this and done that. I won't even mention that. But the whole thing is, they had an ulterior motive to what they were saying. They did for God so that God would do something that they wanted. Now, mark me when I say this. You don't do something for God because you're trying to put him in a position where he has to do something for you. He doesn't have to do anything. You think I would try that? As much time as I spent with the Lord this week, there is no way I would say, God, I'll do this. If you'll do that, I'm not going to. No. God, I'm going to do that if you don't do this. I'm going to still do the that. That's why we're going to see miracles. That's why we're going to see healings. That's why we're going to see salvation. That's why we're going to see deliverance. He said, but Bishop, but what about these other churches? Do you understand the Bible is explicit about that? Do not compare yourself by others. We can't do that. That's not who we are. That's not what we're all about. So your faith is not proven by what you say in peace, but by what you stand for under pressure. So for young people, some of you young ones here, when I say young, anybody under 30 is young to me. Actually, under 50 is young to me. Maybe even 60. When you're pressured to compromise, I don't care who you are, when you're pressured to compromise, stand. Everybody say stand. Just stand. In the workplace, when you're tempted to cut corners, stand. You cut corners in some jobs, you're going to cost people their lives. So when you're tempted to cut those corners, keep standing. And for those that want to be leaders in the body of Christ, when integrity costs you applause, stand. I may not get applause. I don't need the applause of people. I just need to hear Jesus say, well done. Brother Perez, that's all I need. I want to hear him say, when I lay my head on the pillow at night, I want to hear Philly's spirit say, well done. You did what I asked you to do. But God, nobody applauded me. Nobody slapped me on the back. Nobody, nothing, no cheers, no nothing. So, when integrity costs you applause, you still stand. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you chose obedience over acceptance? If it cost you acceptance, did you still say, oh God, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do? That's important. That's important. Because, see, we've been called to stand out. That means we're a shining light. We're sitting on a hill that cannot be hidden. You can't hide it. Matthew 5:14 says this in the NIV. You are the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, NIV says good deeds, and praise your Father which is in heaven. I like Matthew 5:14 when it said in the Message Bible, it says you're to be the light. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Bringing out the God colors in the world. How many of you here today want to bring out the God colors in the world? You see, God didn't call any of us sitting here today. God didn't call us just to survive the darkness. I'll just keep on keeping on and trudging on, and I may stub my toe and bump my head, but I'm going to keep on in the darkness. He didn't call us to survive in the darkness. He called everyone here to expose it. How? To illuminate hope, to bring flavor, color, truth, and life. That's what He called us to do. He called you to do that. You said, "No, Bishop, no, He called you." No. I've been here to spread the gospel and to teach you. It's all of us in here have been called to shed that light. I don't care how old you are. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not. I'd rather have an old candle than no candle. Valerie? Okay. I'd rather have an old candle. How about you'd rather have an old purse than no purse? An old computer than no computer. Some of the best things you can buy is old wine. I don't say uh-oh. Everybody in here going, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Who in their right mind would go buy a wine that was 5 days old? It'd be useless. Well, I'll get off that because I see y'all are too spiritual. Here's the cool thing about it. Light is never afraid of darkness. Light is never afraid of darkness. When light steps in, it dominates it. It don't worry about it. It don't try to prove anything. It just is. So when I step into any place, I'll never forget one night I was in, Burt Reynolds had a nightclub downtown at, I can't remember, it was where that was, it was right downtown. You remember where it was, Randy? The Omni Hotel. You're right, thank you. I thought I saw you there that night. So I went there because some of my band members were playing in the band. And I walked in there and sat down with my bass player and to listen to them play, which was rock and roll, is what they were doing. But they also worked with me. And so, in a moment, one of my players said, "Come on up here, let's do a song." So I chose the song. I chose to sing. The first song was Amazing Grace, and the way I can do it with the blues. And I started, they're all talking and drinking and carrying on and having a big time like they should have had on Friday night. They were having a big time. Until I started singing. And then the anointing fell. And I watched them, and it's truth before the living Lord. They stopped drinking. They turned around, and the place was pretty big. Turned around and started listening and started crying. Listening to me sing, and I'm thinking, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." Well, you shouldn't have been in there, Bishop. Why not? God didn't call the righteous to repentance. He called sinners. I had them walking up to him and said, "My mama used to sing that song." Go back and sit down. You're drinking too much. But do you see my point? Light walks into any dark situation and it dominates it. It just dominates it. That's why I'm not like any other preacher. I'm not going to do what everybody else does. Well, Bishop, you should. I had one bishop say to me, "You can't do those things. You can't say those things." I said, "Well, I'm going to." He said, "But you're going to lose friends. You're going to lose popularity. See, it's all about being popular so you can get engagements. I don't need it. That's why I've got you. We work together and we can still speak truth and we don't have to worry about telling falsehoods." Do you see how important you are? If you don't think you're important, I'm going to say it again. You are vital to what God wants to do. Amen. So light isn't afraid of darkness. When light steps in, he dominates the darkness. You see, a candle, you don't have to be loud and proud, just stand up. Because a candle doesn't shout at the dark, it just simply shines. Try it at home. Light a candle in a dark room, but you can't hardly see your nose in front of your face. And watch what it does. It just shines. What do you do as a Christian? You shine. Here's a real important question I'm going to pose to some preachers. Preachers need the word. Matter of fact, they need the word more. I won't say more, but as much as you do. You know why? Because they're going to be standing behind pulpits preaching. You see, I admit I don't know it all, but they think they do. That's sad, because they really don't. But here's a question I want to pose. Am I more afraid of being uncomfortable than I am of being spiritually stagnant? Am I more afraid of being uncomfortable than I am of being spiritually stagnant? That's an important question. You see, I'd rather be uncomfortable than stagnant. How about you? That's what Moses did. He said, what do you mean, Moses? Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. But he said, you know what? I'd rather endure the hardship than sin for a season. I'd rather follow the hardships of my brethren than to follow the house of Pharaoh. My God. He said, but Bishop, I feel so alone. You don't understand. I'm standing, but I'm alone. So what? You keep standing. You stand. And you may feel all alone. You may be having what I would call valley moments. Has anybody ever had a valley moment? What do you mean? You may feel all alone if you're at school. You may feel alone at school, or maybe you're a teacher. You feel alone. Maybe you feel overlooked by your family. Has anybody ever felt they've been overlooked by their family? I have. I've been overlooked by the family of God. But I'm in good company because Jesus was too. Read it. He came to his own received him not. And I'll get off that. I know y'all aren't ready for that. So I may be alone in the school. I may be alone in the supermarket. I may be alone at the mall. I may be overlooked by my family and my friends. I may be misunderstood in my convictions. And many of y'all may misunderstand me. Don't. I try to make it simple. Don't misunderstand me in my conviction, and I shouldn't misunderstand you in your convictions. But remember this. God does His best work in the valley. So you lose a job. You can find a job. Are y'all catching this? So I lose my car. I can get another one. I said it before. I spilt my Coke. Now I'm talking about soda pop. Some of y'all are wicked and evil. I spilt my Coke, but you know what? I can get me another. I spilt my glass of milk, but I can pour myself another glass. That's just the way I think. Someone leaves me, I'll find someone to fill that place. I've proven that. I'm going to sit around long by myself. But God does His best work in the valley. So wherever you are, if you're in the valley right now, you ought to start praising God. Because I want you to understand that in the valley, I'm saying it over and over, in the valley, God isn't absent. He's refining. He's working some things out. You don't realize, why are you in the valley? Because God's working some things out in you, Doc. Working some things out in you, Brother Perez. Carmen, He's working some things out. You say, but I think I'm all wore out. He's wore me out. Well, not enough. He's going to get you to where He wants you to be so He can move in your life. I'm preaching pretty good. This place ought to be filled. We ought to have people running and shouting in this house today. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Who said that? Thank you. You see, even David wrote in Psalms 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Thou art with me." Where is He with you? In the valley, into the shadow of death. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Where? In the valley. Ho, 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 green. No, no. It just hit me all of a sudden. I'll get you laughing sooner or later, Randy. Do you understand that in the valley and the shadow of death, God is going to step right in there with you? And He don't mind you laughing today. Somebody said, "No, God wants you to be stern." And no, 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 no. Matter of fact, someone had a near-death experience that I read about, and I have studied them. There's thousands upon thousands of them. People that were agnostics and atheists. And they said that when they entered into that next phase of that dimension, one of them saw Jesus, and they asked Jesus a question, and He laughed. He chuckled. He said, "Jesus, my Lord, would never chuckle." Well, I think He does, because He looks at me every day and says, "I can't believe it." What was He thinking? And that's the problem. We're not thinking. Jesus don't mind laughter, because it does something to your body. Laughter heals you. Matter of fact, in the valley, look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Look at Jesus in the valley. Look at the disciples. My God, they'd followed the man around for 3.5 years. But the disciples were transformed after the resurrection in their lowest hour. Their lowest hours while Jesus was in the tomb. Their dreams were dead. I think we need to start taking... Sometimes we need to write down how many you women, I'm sure y'all journal. Some of y'all do. We need to journal our current valley. Write it down. What valley am I in? Is it sickness? Is it financial problems? Whatever it is, a job. Write it down. Then, ask not only God to get you out, but God, what are You building in me? God, what are You trying to do in me? What are You trying to work out in me? Because God's trying to work something out in every one of us seated here today, and me especially. He's trying to work something out. So I need a breakthrough. Well, breakthrough, you want to talk about breakthrough. Breakthrough comes in the fire. It's not comfortable. In the pressure, the fire. Let me just show you and read on just a little bit about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3:24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He said, "You don't bow, I'm throwing you in the fiery furnace." He rose up in haste. I'm trying to prove my point. This breakthrough comes into fire. He rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, Didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? I know we bound them, and I told you to bind them up good. And you threw them into the fiery furnace. And the counselor said, they answered and said unto the king, "True, king, we did." Then the king said, he answered and said, "But excuse me, I think I need my glasses." He didn't say that, I'm just paraphrasing. I can't believe my eyes, but I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Loose. Everybody say loose. loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Where did they get their breakthrough? They got it in the fire. How did they lose their bonds they were bound with? The fire is what's consumed the bonds. Sometimes you got to walk into the fire to get rid of the ropes that are holding you down. I'm preaching pretty good. I love it. They were unbound and walking around in the fire. They were just singing. Tomorrow, tomorrow. Whatever song they were singing, they were happy. Can you imagine being in the fire with Jesus? I said, now Jesus, get close to me. Stand real close to me. Don't get away from me, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Don't get over there by Shadrach. Stay right close to me. Because in the fire, I need you. Everybody say, in the fire, we need Jesus. So if you're in the fire right now, all you need is Jesus to burn your ropes off. Here's what I want to say to you. You don't know your power until you're faced with the pressure. And you don't need the power until you have the pressure. Why do you need a miracle if you're not set up for a miracle? Why do you need a financial blessing if you got $1 million in the bank? Now, come on. Some people are praying for more and more, and they need to do something with the more they have. I pray that the angels of the Lord would be here today, and I know He is. I feel it. Here's something we need to say to one another and to the spirits that be. I will rebel against the lies that tell me I'm not enough. I'll stand up. Holy rebellion. I'm tired of it. I've had it all my life. I've had people say, you're not good enough. You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to do it. And I'll preach about that on the 22nd. But there are people say, you can't do it. You can't make it. You just ain't got what it takes. As long as I have Jesus, I have everything I need that takes. Here's what we need to do as we step into these areas. We need to identify our fear. Write it down. Identify our shame or our guilt. Has anybody got anything you feel guilty of that happened back 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Come on, let's be honest. Or last week. You may not, but I have. And I don't like it. One thing I can say, I never intentionally hurt anybody in my life. And that's the truth. I've never intentionally hurt anyone. That's just not my nature. So identify a fear. Identify a shame or a guilt. Identify it. Maybe write down a compromise that you did. I compromised in this area. And then, after writing it all down, get alone so you can get loud and proud, Randy. Look at it, and then I want you to get angry and speak spiritual defiance over it this week. Be spiritually defiant. Don't let it rule you. You rule it. Don't let it keep you down. You keep it down. Don't let it keep you from going over. You go over. Let me just say it again. It ain't over till it's over. And it's only over when the Lord says it is finished. What kind of faith do I need in all this, Bishop? Sister Floyd, what do I need? I need standout faith. I need a faith that stands out, that people can see it, they can feel it, they're aware of it. Who had standout faith? Look in the Bible. Esther had standout faith. She saved the nation. You know the story. If you don't, we'll preach it some other time. Esther had standout faith. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood firm and were delivered in the fire. Jesus rebelled against dead religion with living truth. That's what he did. He was a rebel. Paul, the apostle, he stood alone in chains. Stood alone in chains, but shook nations. Here's a word for you. You're not here to mimic culture. You're here to mirror Christ. See, even in these conclaves that I go to, these holy convocations that I go to, I don't try to mimic them. And they look at me like, who's this guy? What's he up to? Many of them, I've been in ministry far longer than they have. But what's he up to? He don't look the part. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to look the part. I want to be the part. And if they can't feel the anointing in my life, then I failed. But some of them that are so spiritual, they're so dead they can't feel nothing. So I've been called to mimic culture. I've been called to mirror Christ. And let me say this. I mentioned this earlier as a challenge. You're not too young or too old to lead. And don't follow followers. If you follow followers, you're going to be led into the ditch. Don't follow followers. Be the light. Be the light that leads. You say, well, what about me? I work every day. I don't have time to minister, Bishop. Your workplace is more than a paycheck. Ooh. Your workplace is more than a paycheck. It is your pulpit. You have to let your character preach louder than your words. And that will change people. To those that are raising kids or raising grandkids, please don't raise kids just to fit in. Don't raise your kids or your children just to fit in. We need to raise up warriors that know how to fight the good fight of faith. That's what we need to raise them up. That's why I'm absolutely against programs now. Well, maybe I shouldn't get into this now. I am more into a family experience than I am segregating. Because as you segregate, you set up, sometimes there's some bad habits set up. And things are allowed that should not be allowed. And we've gotten weary in well-doing. We're tired. We're just tired. But every time I get tired, I think, well, someone said to my wife, said, I can't believe he's not going to retire. That's what she just said to her. I can't believe he ain't going to retire. What am I going to retire to? I don't have any retirement. I killed that many years ago trying to build this place. And that retirement's gone. But forget that. A squirrel is a squirrel, is going to climb. A fish is a fish, it's going to swim. A bird is a bird, and it's going to fly. And Alan is going to preach. Amen. That's just fact. So I want to say this to you, my family. Let's be a movement. Let's challenge the norm. Let's challenge what people say and challenge the culture. We're not just a meeting. We need to live loud, live with love, be bold, and walk and be awake. I'm going to walk and be awake.